fries. Wake up. Shake up your business.
Hello, it's Libby Gore here. You know me from the Bold and Enterprising Breakfast podcast. Every week we like to show you the best of what we've done. But, you know, as I say to you every week, everything's good. So I thought we might excite you a little bit this week and help you get a glimpse into the dirty, seedy world of dirty business deals done dirt cheap.
Disrupt
Radio. They're going on all the time. You hear this music and you know you're either going to watch an ad for a luxury car or maybe it's the background music for some untoward business dealing. A business deal that can be best described as dirty, shonky, questionable. That suspenseful feeling conjures up pictures of dark alleyways, blokes in trench coats and suitcases, illegal merch or drugs, and always, always, those involved are shady characters. Oh, that's a great word, isn't it? Shady. But sometimes the most respectable-looking folk have got a whole lot of other stuff going on in the shadows. Shonky stuff. Shady stuff. Illegal stuff. And you wouldn't even know it because these people live in the nicest suburbs, wear the most understated and elegant clothes, holiday in the best places, give to the right charities, and are invited to the best parties. It takes a lot to blow the whistle on someone like that because, unlike the underworld where gangsters and crooks have their own system of honour and ritually clean each other up, in the corporate world, they wear white collars or power suits, fragrant cologne, have lovely handbags, and have very powerful friends. And what they do isn't always illegal. Lawyers advise them on that, but it is a little shady. That's when you apply the sniff test, like this. It's a bit whiffy. It takes a lot to go looking for that and hold it to account. And then, oh, excuse me, the guests are here. Come on in. Oh, darling. Mwah, mwah, good to see you.
This is Enterprise Breakfast with Libby Gore on Disrupt Radio.
Australian Journalist of the Year on four occasions. His investigations span foreign affairs, defence, national security, whistleblowing, politics, everything. His latest has been the investigation into Victoria Cross winner Ben Robert Smith, the now disgraced military man who was backed by Channel 7 Chairman Kerry Stokes. He joins you on the radio, Nick McKenzie. Nick, thank you for rousing yourself to speak with us today. Is it a precarious livelihood chasing the dirty deeds of the rich and powerful?
It is a precarious livelihood. It's an exhausting livelihood as well. But what I always say is, you know, I'm not going out of business because there's so much villainy out there and badness that my problem is keeping up with it all. There's just too many cases to be investigated every day of the year.
So the interesting thing with you, Nick, is that, like, crookedness, crookery amidst the crooks, people who identify as crooks, their pronouns would be bad and shonky. That's one thing. But the people you investigate are people who represent themselves as being clean living, corporate, powerful, respected business people.
Well, I've actually investigated both sides of that aisle. So I've certainly looked at organised criminals and gangsters and the way that they've corrupted people like police and public officials, but also looked at corporate Australia. And ultimately, what do they both have in common? Yeah, I mean, they may look different, they may dress different, they may talk different, but it's about the obtaining of money and power. And it's very cliched that where there's great money and great power, often you find corruption. And that's where I look, and it's, I guess what surprises me is just how often money does lead to bad outcomes and how greed can blind and how ego can play a huge role in people's lives. and lead them down sometimes very, very corrupt tracks. And the other thing I think that strikes me, we expect organised criminals to act like organised criminals. That's what they are. They're often where they're sort of hard on their sleeve. They look like gangsters. They dress like gangsters. But we don't expect that of corporate Australia. Directors, senior executives, we do hold them to a certain standard. And it's just amazing to me how often that standard, in some cases, is breached.
It's true. The most lucrative criminals are often those you'd least expect. And corporate Australia is rife with them. This isn't just an Australian problem either. These deals aren't always so under the radar. The dirty deals and deeds of a certain Mr. Donald Trump flooded the headlines once again this last week, as Stormy Daniels took to the stand in Trump's ongoing fraud trial, gripping the public with salacious and lengthy retelling of her sexual encounter with the ex-president and what he was wearing at the time. Ew! Daniels may have regarded her encounter with President Trump as brief, unimaginative and regrettable, but a testimony that conjures images of silk pyjamas and girls who remind Trump of his mother is unfortunately just not so easy for us to forget. Excuse me whilst I just swallowed that little bit of vomit that came up in my throat. Thank goodness for Chaz Lichardello. Do you know him? He's a comedian. Was once in The Chaser. He's now the co-host of the ABC's Planet America, which you must watch if you want a digestible view of what's going on in the States. Anyway, Chaz helped us pick apart exactly what is going on with this news story, and more importantly, how it affects us here in Australia.
How is this relevant to the court case? And why is the judge letting her talk about this? Because it's, really, she's there for one reason, and that is just to prove that Trump had an affair with her, because he's denying that he did. And it's relevant to the case because he paid for hush money for that affair. So I understand why she's there, but the fact that she's, as you say, narrating this really gross story, I don't see how the jury couldn't find it prejudicial. And I'm worried that at an appeals court, if he's found guilty, the appeals court might go, all this Stormy Daniels stuff, this biased the jury.
It's interesting. I mean, I understand how she has to paint the picture that it actually happened. It's just such torrid language. But my interest is, Chaz, have there been any polls about how it's affecting his political chances with the election coming up? Has this had any direct impact on any latest polls?
There have been a few polls which, first of all, I should say that the polls haven't changed in the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
So just in terms of what's happened, it happened so far, mm-hmm. Nothing's made any difference.
And the polls are generally Trump and Biden, right? The polls are generally Trump and Biden. Okay.
That's right, yes. But the margins haven't changed. Like, Trump's been ahead by 1 point for about a month now, and he's still ahead by 1 point.
Ugh.
But having said that, the question that you're really asking is, are there any polls that have tested out how people would react should he be convicted or should he not be convicted or something like that? And there are. Now, obviously, this is mind reading a little bit here, because no one knows how they're actually going to react in the case of a conviction. But at least according to what people say at this point in time, they say if Trump's convicted, then it doesn't give Biden any more support, but it gives Trump less support. He loses 5 to 6 points. Now, some of those voters will go to a third-party candidate like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Some of them just won't vote at all. Now, that is, of course, if they're telling the truth, we'll find out. But the at least at this point in time, that's what the polls suggest. The polls suggest that Trump could lose 5 or 6 points. Doesn't sound like a lot of support. It's enough to lose the election.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I'm interested to how this set of business, this personal business, affects yours and my, the way we go about our way of life, the American president and the Australian way of life. The intersection, can you give me some sort of broad picture? Or will nothing really change except for a feeling of, I don't know, precariousness when you look at who's making statements and running the world, the free world.
You're talking about if Trump becomes president again?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think that from an Australian point of view, I'm not sure there's a massive difference. I think that Australia is pretty much America's favourite country these days, regardless of who's president. So I think that it won't make too much difference to us, except the one area where it might make a difference to us is regards to China and the threat of a potential war over Taiwan. Because China is definitely building up their military, and certainly the military boffins suggest somewhere towards the end of the next presidential term is the danger period for China potentially trying to take over Taiwan. And then the question is, does America go to war with China over Taiwan? Now, if Joe Biden is president, I'll tell you now, there's a 100% chance that America will go to war with Taiwan. With China over Taiwan. If Trump's president, I don't think anyone knows what he'll do. Like, he could just try and do a deal out of it. He could try and get better export status or something with China and just throw Taiwan overboard. Or he might go over the top. He might go even harder against China than Biden would. It's just completely unpredictable. So, obviously, whatever happens there will affect Australia.
So it's all got to do with the foreign policy relationships.
Yeah, that's what I would say. For Australia, at least, yeah. Now, America will be a very different country if Trump gets re-elected than if it doesn't. But that's not, if you're asking about us, that's not really our business.
It's so fascinating. May we talk about Robert F. Kennedy for a moment? There was a fabulous article about him in the weekend papers. The influence of this third party candidate who's kind of, he's got this amazing pedigree with his family name, and yet he does have some slightly out there views on things. Could he swing the vote given that Joe Biden seems like he's still so sleepy and Donald Trump seems like he's still so kooky?
Look, I think if Robert F. Kennedy gets on all the swing state ballots, which he certainly hasn't yet, but he's trying to, if he gets on this all the swing state ballots, so he's actually in the race in all the major states, I think his vote will determine who the winner is, without a doubt, because he has consistently polled at about 10% for months now, and I don't see any reason why that would change. 10%, taking 10% of the vote from either Biden or Trump or some combination thereof, that's the ball game for sure. These two aren't going to be less than 1 or 2 points separated from each other. So also more than 1 or 2 points separated from each other. So Robert F. Kennedy is going to decide who the president is, without doubt.
And how does he get on those ballots in those precarious states?
That's a great question. Some states just make you pay a fee. Some states make you get a certain number of signatures on a petition. Some states make you follow through like a procedure you got to go through. Every state has their own rules. Mostly, like as a general rule of thumb, I think to get on all 50 states, you need something like 6 or 7 million signatures in total across America in all the 50 states, and you need to pay a few million bucks as well. He's got the money. The signatures are a hard thing to get, but he's working on them. So it's essentially like the world's biggest kind of, like the wilderness koalas. It's like the world's biggest wilderness koala situation going on, where he's just got RFK wilderness koalas all around America trying to get them to jump through hoops for him so he can get on their ballots.
Wow. On the radio, Chas Licciardello, co-host of the ABC's Planet America, just getting a snapshot of what's going on in the United States of America and basically how it can affect you as you go about your business here in Australia. Final question, could you explain the importance of Taiwan? Why is it such a huge, pressure point in world politics?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, from China's point of view, it's very simple. That is, China sees it as part of China. They don't think Taiwan has ever been its own country, and they see it as their own. So that's just an ego thing from China's point of view. But from the world point of view, the reason why Taiwan's so important is because Taiwan is the world capital of silicon chips. Taiwan is the country that makes all the best computer chips in the world. They get used in your phones. They get used in, especially with AI, particular products coming through. You want really good computerization. Basically, they are the cutting edge of all technology because they own silicon chips. Other countries have tried to replicate it, like America have tried and just failed. So whoever owns Taiwan owns the control of the world's technology. That's a pretty big deal.
Well, that's it for now, but what a tasty little degustation plate that was. If you can't wait until next week for more in a little podcast, why don't you just tune in to the live show? It's on DAB+. If you're in Brisbane, Sydney or Melbourne, or wherever you may be right around Australia, you can tune in online at disrupt.radio. Don't forget the dot, disrupt.radio. My name is Libby Gore. Love having your company. Let's talk soon.
Disrupt Radio. Tune in to opportunity.